Welcome back for another episode of Need for Speed Running, folks. Pit Stop Edition this time. We are doing something we very rarely do, which is revisiting an old topic, something that we've done here before, but with a new cast of characters, or at least one of them. My name is Jay Hubbs. I'm joined by two other fantastic hosts, my regular hosts and friends, Luigi and Ruby Heart. How are y'all doing?
Good. How's it going?
I'll make it.
No. Wait, okay.
Are you outside? Are you running? You're like, right. I'm late. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to catch the bus.
There's just more ghosts and feral toads in the apartment than usual.
Fair.
Oh,
fair.
No. See, my partner and I became vault dwellers yesterday, got in the full vault dweller get up. We had new Coca-Cola bottles filled with energy drinks. Marathoned a bunch of the episodes with our friends Kat and Lozenge, who dressed as ghouls and wastelanders. It was a great time. It was great.
You guys all inject a bunch of jet and just have a real, real cool night.
Well, and Kat straight up has the Fallout cookbook. So we made iguana on a stick, quote unquote, and yum yum deviled eggs. Just a bunch of the recipes from the games. So I've only peripherally seen Fallout and seen speedruns of Fallout, but it was very fun seeing everyone else's reactions, like, oh, this advertisement that's in all the Fallout games.
So, yeah, yeah. I've never played a Fallout game, really. I was given the opportunity to either get that or Batman Arkham City a long time ago by trading TF2 hats. Mm-hmm. And I think I made with the right call. I went with Batman Arkham City.
That's a good call. I played Fallout 3 and Arkham Asylum for the first time in the same week. I borrowed someone's 360 and just, like, did nothing but play those two games, and I love both of those games a lot. So,
but I was saying with some friends, I think the funny thing is, you know, when a video game series gets announced, there's like some excitement and a lot of groaning, right? Everyone's always just like, oh God, what are they going to do to fuck it up this time? Like, yeah. how are they going to ruin this for everybody? How are they going to pull another Halo? And I think the thing that intrigued me about this one, again, no familiarity with Fallout, so I don't know. But I was like, Fallout is a post-apocalyptic world. Mm-hmm. They have made so many TV shows that are already Fallout. Like, there are already so many post-apocalyptic survival TV shows. I'm like, this has got to be a shoo-in. Mm-hmm. If any game is going to translate into a decent show, this one's got the best odds because Hollywood's made this TV show a million times.
Yeah.
Best way I can put it is, like, with Fallout, I think that people from the outside looking in think it looks like a very serious story. It's very like Zombieland and Portal. Like, it's so tongue and freaking cheek. And one of the main robots, Mr. Handy, they cast as Matthew Barry, who, if you don't know from What We Do in the Shadows, has some of the greatest line delivery ever. So, like, the casting is on point for this one. It's a lot of fun and very goofy.
I know him from like guest starring in Community and also just being on like some panel shows.
Jolly Grifter, yes.
Yeah, the Grifter, exactly.
Matt Berry's great, and I would kill to have a Mr. Handy robot with his voice. So that's cool. I didn't know that.
I
love Fallout. Those games are dumb, and I know they're dumb. People take those games way too seriously, and they're like, no, this is a dumb game, and I love them. So,
yeah, that's very true. But Fallout is not what we're going to be talking about.
No,
most of the episode here today, folks.
Although it would
probably fit quite well into our topic if any of us were familiar with the Fallout runs. Really,
I am. Mm-hmm.
You but, are.
Okay. I won't bring it up. There was a few years ago. Someone ran the Fallout anthology at GDQ, and they went through like all of them.
Tomato Anus, as we call him.
Yes, Tomato Anus. Yes,
the G is silent.
So you can check that out because they're all pretty weird, especially once you get into the Todd era. Some of them, they're like, this game is uncrackable. I'm like, Todd, no, it's not. I'm sorry. It's not. It's very broken.
But yeah, we are instead going to be talking about the six new speed runs, maybe seven if we got time, if we're lucky. Six speed runs.
If you're good, drink your milk.
Yeah, if you all are good, if you do a good job, make sure that you drink your milk, grow nice and strong bones, get big and tall. That's why I'm 6'4", because I just drank a lot of milk as a kid. Actually, I did drink a lot of milk as a kid. Maybe there's a connection here. Anyways, if you're lucky, we'll give you an extra. But we just want to talk about six speed runs that we think you all should know. You might know some of these. You might know of the games. You probably will know of several of the games. But maybe you don't know about the speed runs. We just think these are six speed runs you should know. We've done this episode once before. We kind of did our six little like passion picks. But this time we kind of tried to pick a few more speed runs that mean something to us individually, or we just think are kind of should be part of the speed running lexicon, if you will. Mm. Something that more people should know about and watch on the regular. So
yeah, mine don't mean anything to me.
Well, they mean nothing to you whatsoever.
One of my two is a game I played. So, you know, maybe.
That's good. That's always a good starting point.
So, Hobbs, I know that you were really excited about this particular idea as soon as we were talking about it. What's your first that you immediately need people to know about? We know Spider-Man, obviously, and there are some games that we regularly talk about, but... Yeah.
So last time I talked about it, because it was a year and a half since we last did this. And I think right after that episode, we were like, this would be a really fun topic to revisit. So we waited 18 months to do it. But what we did was we picked two each. I might have more than two written down, so I'm going to do a game time decision to pick each one. But the first one I knew, the one I locked in right away that I want to put in there is Lego Star Wars. And I'm cheating a little bit here because I'm kind of picking like the whole series, but a lot of they're just fun in different ways. I'd say that like Lego Star Wars, which is the prequel trilogy, is like the original one,
right?
That is probably the one that I'm most referencing here. But I think these are really cool and kind of underrated runs. Like if you go and look, they don't always have that many runners on the leaderboard. And part of that I think is that when you play the game at first, you're like, it's a lot of running. Like you're just kind of running at a set speed, and maybe there's not a ton you can do to like speed up that movement. But sometimes that is kind of what you need to for a run to end up developing into something really, really wild and really silly. Like if your fastest movement in Ocarina of Time were just running forward, it would not look how it looks today, right? like it's because you can do all these other things that it's wild. Mm-hmm. The fact you can't skip these cutscenes means that they had to find other ways to skip the cutscenes and stuff like that, right? And I think Lego Star Wars, specifically, I recommend watching these runs co-op. I just think they're wildly fun. The games themselves are just kind of like they're pretty chill, in my opinion. You really can't die. Like even when you get killed, you just respawn immediately. And they have this interesting blend from a speedrun perspective of sometimes, especially if you see some of the like free play categories or 100% categories, which can get really long. Sometimes you need like specific character classes in order to do specific things. So there becomes this routing advantage in co-op of like, okay, well, which classes are you going to go in with? When are you going to switch to which different classes? You know, is that going to cost you menuing time, or can you do it with like the buttons? Mm-hmm. Who's going to be positioned where to be able to like do one thing and then warp to the other side of the screen because you need to run backwards or something like that. Yeah. And then they have tons of just like very accessible to watch out of bounds, especially in the, you know, original Star Wars, the prequel trilogy one, which again, I think it's called Lego Star Wars, the video just game.
Lego Star Wars.
Or just Lego Star Wars. It's one of two. The problem is they've made the same game like 17 times. Mm-hmm. So
they have generally the same title over and over with like, one or two word differences or something. Well,
there's like Lego Star Wars, the video game, I think is like a GBA version or something. And then there's Lego Star Wars, which is like was on the PlayStation 2 GameCube era of consoles, which is what I'm thinking of. But yeah, it's just really fun. I know Keys and I did it for TFS once, and then I watched it afterwards. And there's just so many spots where, like, you can follow exactly what's happening on screen, but they're still totally breaking the main, you know, sequence of the game or the main gates that the game is trying to put in front of you.
They're like getting split up. You said like they're like warping to one another.
Yeah, they'll often split up and then like one player will drop out so that it becomes single player because it's like drop in and out co-op for most of them. Mm-hmm. So you'll have somebody like kind of take the lead while someone else lags far enough behind that the screen is still scrolling, but like they're as far away as they can be. And then once the task that they need to do, a lever they need to push or something, gets done, then suddenly the other person is now taking the lead because they're near they're closer to the exit or whatever. And it's
Co-op stuff like that is cool. Like,
yeah, I think it's really fun. There's a lot of like kind of also propping each other up, like jumping on heads or moving, using the force to move objects to then like jump off of them and get up above invisible walls. Like I said, the out of bounds are very easy to watch. They're often just like wiggle at this seam and you'll pop right through, or like get over this invisible wall and then you could just drop through the ceiling or something like that. And I just think that they're just a good chill time. There was a period of time where I was just watching like the 100% run for one of those games that's like a 16-hour run or something, just an hour or so every night as I was going to bed. It was just a chill speed run to to relax and study to that I would just fall asleep to. And I don't know. I think more people should check it out. I think they're very approachable. They're very accessible. They're fun to do even if you don't know the tech, and they become more fun if you see, you know, and you learn how that tech works. And especially from a co-op perspective, I just think I think they're cool. I think they're very neat. Ruby, you look like you want to talk.
I was going to say, so you're not the only one who went a co-op direction with this. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So one of the games I know you mentioned last time was It Takes Two, because that's a game that is not only really cool and has a lot of great in-bounds moments as well as out-of-bounds. So I went with We Were Here Forever, which is part of a four-game series that, if you haven't heard of it, you need to play it. It's so good. How much exposure do you all have with We Were Here?
I don't think I've ever heard of this. I mean, if I look it up, I'll recognize it. One sec.
Okay. So It Takes Two and many other co-op games actually took from this series, or took inspiration from it. So the first game is just free to play, and it only takes 2 to 4 hours. But it specifically is a game where you use an in-game radio and you are two characters stuck inside of a castle.
I've played this game. I played that. Not forever, but I played the first one. Yeah.
So it's a four-game series. So they started off with this first one, and the whole idea was just, what if cooperative puzzle horror game, but you could only use the in-game radio? So sometimes it fizzles out, sometimes you get interference, sometimes you have to like reestablish power, and you're solving puzzles by describing your environments to each other, and 1 minute you could be fine and then suddenly hear your partner go, the room is filling with water or lava and spikes and I need you to help me now, or hey, I'm on a stage, there's a creepy marionette that is coming towards me with an axe, I would really appreciate if it wasn't coming towards me with an axe. They're very fun games, and there's four in the series. So We Were Here Forever is the newest installation that came out like 2 years ago, so in 2022. And the really cool thing about this one, the most run category for it is the glitchless. But because it is a intensive 3D world, there's a really great any percent that does some out of bounding, some just ridiculous running around and moving different puzzle pieces. And since the different symbols and glyphs always randomize every time you reload the game, they are constantly doing a lot of communication. So the thing I love about this speedrun is the same kind of stuff I love about the Overcooked 2 run, or a lot of like RNG-based co-op runs. So if you listen to the speedruns themselves, it's a lot of shouting to your teammate and enjoying the world and listening to the shorthand. So overall, the whole We Were Here series is really great, but for the sake of like watching it as from a speedrun perspective, for the out of bounds glitches, for just the really fun, insane stuff you hear from teammates and the graphics updates, this one is really great. And the world record for any percent is 51 minutes and 39 seconds. So,
yeah, I'm looking up the leaderboard now. And one of the things I really like is a lot of times with co-op games, and especially co-op puzzle games, you can run into this trap of like the fastest way to play the game ends up being solo, either doing like one person playing both characters or just, you know, some kind of method, like maybe you're moving one character with your feet and you're using the keyboard or something. And that doesn't appear to be the case here. Like everything is showing as co-op. And even if for a game that has solo and co-op, like sometimes the solo is just more often going to be the popular category. I really like when a co-op game is standing up on like the shoulders of being co-op, like co-op first. And I think that co-op speedruns are very cool. And I love that it's not having to just kind of be like, oh, it's like the solo run, but you deal with two people, so it's a little slower, or you deal with two people, so it's slightly faster. I like that it's just, no, it's just co-op to begin with. You just got to do it.
Yeah, because everything about it is asynchronous, so everything you are seeing when you're playing different paths is going to be different. And the fact that it's constantly randomizing, it's really about, okay, we understand how this puzzle works. We have the shorthand, but you need both people's brains to be able to work on the different things. So, yeah, I don't think this is one that would benefit at all from playing it solo, because you would just be trying to juggle too many things at once.
Wow. And for the first game in the series, there's like 157 times on the leaderboard too, which is really cool. Like probably benefited from the fact that it's a free game, but like any speedrun that has more than like four runners is pretty big. Like that's pretty awesome that it gets that much. So it's very cool to see.
It's a miracle.
The original game is also like 5 minutes long for any percent no out of bounds.
Like I'm getting vibes of, and if you already said this, I'm sorry. But I'm getting vibes of like keep talking and nobody explodes sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not exactly the same of like in that one, it's asymmetrical. Right. Mm-hmm. Keep talking. Nobody explodes. Like one person's doing the bomb. One person has the manual. This it's like you're in the same game. You're in the same world. It's just you're in kind of different in rooms. So it's kind of like a. When Portal 2 splits you up into different rooms, then that co-op splits you up and you're working together to solve puzzles for the other person, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so much of it is about knowledge. So much of it is about communication. So, yeah, it's a really cool game. It's really pretty. And I know that the devs are an indie studio, I think, in Switzerland or Sweden or somewhere like that, and they are one of those studios that's very excited about the speedrun community and didn't know about it, and once they found out were like, oh, this is great, break our game, please, like take it. So that's another thing I always think is a plus, is when that's the cool. devs go, yes, great, take it, destroy it.
All right, Luigi, how about you? What's your first up on the docket for us?
Ooh, okay. First up for me is We Fit You.
I think I might know why.
I mean, like, I guess this is last time I brought up a motion game and, you know, Trauma Center, which is a Wii game. But We Fit You, a game I have played. This is the Wii U version of We Fit. Different. It uses the gamepad too, so there's other things going on, and Wiimotes and balance board and a pedometer. Goodness, imagine that. I had this game. I actually used like We Fit You for a while. Like we tracked our weight, we tracked the cat's weight. It didn't change, but we could do that. And they had little Mii's on the screen, so that was fun. But the little games were really cool. They're like really dumb. It's a lot of like it feels like an NES power pad where you're sort of like fake walking to move your character forward and stuff. And so, yeah, like on the balance board. And then sometimes you're holding something like the tablet, or you're holding a Wiimote, I guess, maybe.
Well, and specifically, when is the first time you saw this run? Because I think that's interesting.
I watched this the other day when we were watching speedruns with the patrons.
Yeah.
And someone, over at patreon.com/possiblybad,
Yeah, we did. We did a little watch party. We do a watch party once a month. And this was one of the games we happened to watch on a whim.
And it was really good. I liked it. I mean, I think I do identify with it a little bit because I did play the game. And so, like, when they're running around a dining room delivering desserts to people, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember this. I did this. But that's it's and you have to like keep everything balanced. You can't go too fast. The different desserts were had different shaped bases. You know, some were round, some like were a glass with like parfait in it. So it was very top heavy and like you had to be really careful. And watching them like race around the room, dropping these off with different mies and thinking about my mies, which would they would be populating it if I were doing this. And then I'm off on memory lane. So it was a really fun time. I like the Wii a lot. So,
it was a very cool run to look at. It is not one that has been run by a ton of people looking at speedrun.com. But I think that that's like not necessarily a requirement here or anything. It's just watch the run. The all beginner categories run, I think, is what we watched. We watched a submission video. I'm forgetting exactly who the runner was, unfortunately, but the all beginner categories run was like 20 minutes and it was just it's kind of like watching somebody do Ring Fit Adventure where they're exhausted by the end of it. But they're also using like peripherals that are a little older, so they're a bit more abusable. So like they're kind of running in ways that are meant to make your character run faster than if you were maybe just running in place as a person. And it's just really funny to watch. There's two different camera changes over the course of the run in order to like they moved their camera down so you could see them when they had to get on the ground.
To do the like the luge where you have to sit on the board and it's like a core exercise, but like the way when they're running it, they look like he looked like an NPC that's just kind of bugging out a little bit, like just kind of like shaking.
It was so funny.
Like constantly like oscillating.
Big plus one to that one. That was a very cool one.
I want to go look. I don't know, do I want to speed run it? No, I don't want to get my Wii U out. I don't have space for that right now.
You're gonna have to pick one of these Wii games to speedrun. I swear, Luigi, I need to see it.
Man, I was stupid fucking good at Wii Sports, so I probably could have done that well back in the day. I don't know.
Well, the next one that I would like to talk about. So I've got quite a few here, and longtime listeners of the series are gonna recognize that like I ran this game before and I've talked about it in the past, but I feel like it's been a while since I've talked about it, and I think it's kind of fallen a bit to the wayside in terms of like public speedrunning, the public speedrunning eye, and that is Ori and the Blind Forest. I'm like kind of cheating a little bit on this one in that like I feel like I've talked about it a bunch, but it's been probably years.
It's been a long time since you've more toward the beginning of the show, Ori would come up from time to time. But because this is totally valid.
I haven't talked about it in a long time because I haven't played it in a while. Like I haven't run it myself in quite a while. And I wasn't going to bring it up, but then I was just looking through things on speedrun.com to get inspiration for this. And I looked at my time. Now, I would like to want to make it very clear. Let me actually pull my profile up here. One second.
This is the run with the weird name that is the fun run.
Yes.
Not any
percent. It's basically, any percent is kind of a like quick 10 minute or less warp to the end, where like you do the beginning game and then you just like do a wrong warp straight to the ending. The main category that like most people play is called no out of bounds. No OOB / TA, which no out of bounds, no teleport anywhere, which just basically you got to stay in bounds and you got to abuse the glitch that lets you wrong warp. You can't use that glitch. That is. And my time in this game is still 33:50. That is the time that I got when I got that time. If I remember correctly, that time was fifth place and it was ahead of one of the best players, who, like somebody who went on to become one of the best players in the game. I like barely bopped them. How far down the leaderboard do you all think that fifth place time is now?
Now, are these individual runs?
This was 7 years ago. It was 7 years ago.
Oh,
individual runs. It was fifth place. Or individual runners. No, runners, runners. So like, you know, times on the leaderboard. I was fifth 7 years ago. And to note, pretty competitive fifth. Like it wasn't like, you know, the game just came out. Like this was several years after the game came out and everything.
I'm going to take 5 and 7 and multiply them and say 35th.
Okay, Ruby?
I'm going to say you're in 50th.
I am in 70th place on this leaderboard.
Wow.
That was what made me decide to pick that for this, pick this game for this episode. Because
you should have doubled your place. And then
you
multiply.
Would have been perfect.
Damn it.
Because I thought, you know, like if I look at Crash Bandicoot, I'm probably in like 14th or something now, and I used to have a world record in that. Like, I'm still pretty high up there. Like I'm probably still top 20, maybe just outside of top 20 or something. And it's been a long time for that one as well. So for this to have been fifth, I was like, yeah, I'll have bumped down to like the 20s or something, maybe the 30s or something. But people have still just been grinding this game for so long that I'm now 70th place. My time was 33.50 and that was fifth place when I got it. The world record is now 26.59. They barely got sub 27. It is unreal. Like when you watch people who are very good at this run, it is just unbelievable seeing the kinds of stuff they're able to do with this video game. I still think it's one of the best randomizers out there as well. Extremely cool. And the entire game, the thing about it is that Ori and the Blind Forest, the definitive edition of the game specifically, which is the main, pretty much the only one that like anybody runs now, introduced a dash ability that didn't used to exist. And once you get that dash, you just keep unlocking. It's a Metroidvania, so you keep unlocking new abilities, and each one adds something new and unique to your arsenal in a way of going fast. Combat is practically irrelevant in this run. It is all about the movement. There is technically some combat, but it lasts like 3 seconds most of the time because you just destroy everything instantly. But there are so many great ways to move fast in this game, from charge jumps to charge dashes to things we call rocket jumps, with the reverse of a rocket jump, which is called a meteor kick. We've got just double bashing, which is using a glitch to send an enemy a certain direction and it should fling you in the opposite direction, but you follow them instead. It's just really unbelievable what this community has continued to be able to do with this game, and a game that I think like a lot of people have heard of, right? And a lot of people have played, but I don't think is really necessarily just in everybody's heads, especially not now, as like a massively top tier speed game. And it has a good build to it too, which I really like. It starts out a little slow, and then as soon as you get dash, you start moving pretty quickly, but it just keeps getting more and more ridiculous as you get more abilities. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the main category is all skills, no out of bounds. So you're going all over the game because you're collecting all of the abilities, all of the skills. There are multiple different categories. They're all great. Randomizer's super cool and accessible. Highly recommend checking it out. I just think this is one that I'm sad that I haven't been watching it as much lately, and I need to start watching it again because I still consider a lot of these people really great friends and just love that the passion still exists for this game.
Yeah. I should start watching it more because I don't know if I'm ever going to actually play all the way through it. So I might as well just suck it up and start watching.
Yeah, it's really great. And it's a great game, too. I'd say the first game is like maybe like a 7 out of 10 casual game, but a 10 out of 10 speed run.
Really?
Or like a 9.5 out of 10 speed run. And then the second game is kind of the opposite, where like it's still a really solid speed run, but it's doesn't quite hit the same highs as the first game. But the casual experience of Will and the Wisps is like really good. It's 9 or 10 probably. So yeah, recommend playing. Absolutely recommend watching the runs.
Okay. It,
especially with how much it's been updated. That's kind of insane.
Yeah.
For similar reasons, I have a game that I wasn't going to talk about. And then So there is new information.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to talk about Tunic, and here's why. Hear me out.
Okay, okay.
So Tunic is a game that I know I have brought up mainly from a casual standpoint, mm-hmm. but I have not been speaking about it speedrun-wise. That's where a lot of my experience came from. But over the course of the past few weeks, and I really do mean just the last few weeks, a version of the randomizer that is fully compatible with Multiworld Archipelago was released, which has actually inspired more people to get back into Tunic running. So the first time that I watched an any percent run was a few years ago. And at that point, they were still well over the like 30 to 45 minute mark just for the any percent. And then in the past year, that has gone down significantly. So like, a lot of the runs that you see on the leaderboard now are between 17 and 27 minutes.
Yeah, that's wild. Because in my head, it was like still like a 28, 29 minute speed run. And no, the fact that it's all the way down to 17 minutes now is absurd.
No, if you look at the leaderboard, there are no times that are above that 30 minute threshold at this point, just for the any percent. Unrestricted, it's a little ridiculous. And even the restricted, the world record is at the 30 minute mark. So it's been optimized a ridiculous amount. But the thing I really want to point out is the Tunic randomizer board, since it now has a completely separate rando board.
Oh, interesting.
So there are only a few times on it, but with the rando, there are a bunch of different options. So anything from abilities being released in the normal order, you getting abilities in the normal order, to them being shuffled. So when you get an ability, you don't actually know which ability you're being hit with. So they're shuffled just as much as the items. You can have entrances, normal or randomized, and there are different categories based on if you're doing any percent, all checks, or hexagon quest. I personally have not seen rando games that have entirely separate boards for them that are just as recognized on SRC. It's very much not a normal thing. So the fact that it's just as celebrated here and now has that full compatibility, and is something that I know, like I've mentioned as well in the past, is Tunic's devs are so supportive of the speedrun community, and one of them is a speedrunner. So
our good friend Kevin Regamy, who's been on the podcast before.
Thanks, Kevin. As soon as I saw there was a separate board for Tunic Rando, that just feels too iconic to not know about.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because usually for you know, listeners who might not be familiar, usually randomizers don't have a leaderboard, because the idea
It's randomized,
right? It's going to be different every time. And you might say the same thing is true about roguelites, but with randomizers, it's a little bit different, right? Like a roguelite is designed and created entirely to be that way, right? Whereas a randomizer is not always, but usually, almost always, designed by fans to hack together the game in a way that is just a new fun way to play it. So it's not usually something where people really compare times too much. Maybe if you're in like a tournament, you think about your average time, but you're not usually looking for like your fastest runs. So it's really interesting that they went a different route here and are trying to keep track of that and see, look at it as a new avenue of fun to kind of point the community down.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's another one that definitely stands out for me. Luigi, what you got?
I was going to say, because at the end of the day, all that really matters is it fun?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
is it fun to run this? Okay, let's keep track of the fun stuff, and if we can all agree on, what's fair, then we'll keep track of the fun stuff. That's cool.
Yeah.
I have a game that I don't know if it's like fun to play, but it was definitely fun to watch. There is a Metal Gear Solid ripoff. Solidly in the Metal Gear Solid side of things. It's like 3D. This guy is like Snake as fuck. This guy is like just very Yeah, it just looks like it's totally Snake. Like the side by side, phone call. What do you want to call them? Phone calls? I don't know. I've never played Metal fucking game. It has, the conversations with, I assume, Otacon or something. And yeah, it's like this self-serious war story, I assume. Turn my camera on for this.
Luigi, are you are you stalling because you forgot the name of the game again? I'm going to call you out.
Oh, no. I have to talk about the game name first, don't I?
Yeah. You're it's this game that's a bootleg and it has all these things. It's the biggest suspense buildup.
It's called 100 Fires, The Rising of Red Star.
Okay, good. I was like, I got it locked and loaded, Luigi, if you need me, if you forgot the name. Because this is a game that is kind of new to familiarity for us. So it was, and it obviously has a long, weird name. So it was just, I thought that was really funny. Mm. If you're like, I'm going to keep stalling while I remember the name.
Oh, no, I was on a roll. thanks for stopping me.
Mm-hmm. So yes, 100 Fires.
The Rising of Red Star.
Rising of Red Star. What is this game?
It's just a really, I think one person made it. It's a Metal Gear Solid ripoff. It's got this like GoldenEye feel to it too, with like the kind of jank it has going on with like headshots. And like the dudes will just like go flying back side. Like if you shoot them in the side of the head, they will go flying backwards. So they will not go the direction.
Not follow physics at all. Yeah.
No. And like their helmet pops off, and it's there's so much wacky nonsense happening, in the kind of Metal Gear Solid way of that game is like all serious, but like there's still that's. Some of the things I've heard, it's stupid. It's ludicrous. People describe it to me. I'm like, that's not a serious game. Like, that's not serious at all. I'm sorry.
Here's how I think I can.
I want to see pictures of this. I'm so curious.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He looks like Snake. He looks like Liquid or whatever Snake.
Solid Snake. Liquid Snake.
Whatever these things are. I don't know, Ruby. I don't know what to tell you.
I think here's how we can sum this up. We can sum this game up by me reading the SGDQ submission pitch for this game.
Okay.
From Taneko,
our friend
Ethan, who was on the Ethan, one of our patrons, who's on the previous episode that we did of this. Mm-hmm. They said, 100 Fire is an action, stealth, and infiltration game that takes key elements from Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3 and adding its own twist. The story revolves around Montenegro losing his family only to be scouted by a ghostly JFK to infiltrate an enemy base to take out the Japanese developer. The run itself is skill and reaction based with at least one out of bounds trick that is done intentionally while avoiding taking out enemies. Sadly, I skipped a long ladder climb that has its own song. So they're really not even trying to hide the ripoff nature.
It is straight up. Yes.
it makes me think of that really ridiculous made in MS Paint Sanic game that you can get on Steam for like 99 cents. It gives me that vibe of like, yeah, this is Metal Gear Liquid. This is just put some kind of random label on it.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Liquid. I like that. I also don't know what any of those words mean. So I'm right there with you, Ruby.
It does have like a little bit of a like Metal Gear Solid but Unity assets kind of feel to it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He is tall, like out of one of our patrons or person in the Discord. Come hang out in our Discord where I saw this game was like, there's just something wrong with the proportions. I can't it's bad. Like he is just too big for that room.
Oh my God. Tall. And some of the animations are like, like they rigged up the arms, but they didn't rig up any of the other muscles in the body. So like they move and their shoulders just stay perfectly still as their arms move.
Like flail about or something.
Yeah. Oh, very funny.
Wonderful. I love it. It's great. Like, the whole time, I'm just like, just grin from ear to fucking ear. Like, I was having the best time. And, like, you need to see this. You need to play this or do something with it. People need to check this thing out because I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty funny just looking at some footage here. I'll have to watch this one later. I missed that one in the Discord call.
It's exactly what you think it is. Just, it's Metal Gear. It's Metal Gear Solid. It's bad Metal Gear. I did ask it. We were getting to, you know, it close to the end of the second one because there were three games. And I was like, I mean, should I be ready for a naked blonde man to show up? Like, are we going to be like, is it going to be that blatant? And Toniko was like, no, that's not here.
Is it going to suddenly turn into Death Stranding?
So funny, though.
I was like, why wouldn't you? Why would you not do that?
Right.
Like, you know what you are. Do it. Just like make him put a wig on and you lose your clothes for some reason in the story. Like, right? That's it. That's it. All you got to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's funny. Well.
But yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
That's been six more speedruns. We think you all should check out speedruns you should know. Go ahead and check them out. We'll put links in the description for the like various runs. And now that I've said it, mm-hmm. we have to do it. So good job, me, putting future Yay. Work for myself. But no, we will check them out next time. You just need a speedrun to watch. You just need something to watch in general. Maybe check out the Fallout series. I don't know. How much of it did you watch? Because they released it all at once, right? So did you binge it all or did you?
Yes, I have seen, I think, 5 or 6 out of the 8 total episodes.
Okay. You watched a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah, we marathoned a bunch of it yesterday. When I say we got fully dressed up for it, we got fully dressed up for it. Like, we had Wonderful. A blast.
A recommend from you so far, or?
Yeah, again, if you go in knowing that to expect Zombieland and not 28 Days Later, yeah. you're going to be just fine. If you go in expecting 28 Days Later, then you're not, it's not going to be for you.
And why are you playing Fallout?
Right.
Yeah. If that's what you're like, yeah. No, you missed the point of the game. Please come back.
Yeah, if people are expecting like just the super serious scenes from game one, you're gonna have a bad time. But for people who are looking for a lot of really great Easter eggs to that world, Jonathan Nolan being very tongue-in-cheek, yeah, it's definitely a recommend.
Did you say game one? Are they doing game one?
Well,
no,
I think it's just generally about the series, right, or something, or is it story of game one?
They definitely have references to the series, but they've built their own characters. They've built their own vault that they're telling a story about. Okay. So a lot of it is like seeing references, but kind of like, you know, Fallout 3 takes place in DC, Fallout 4 takes place in Boston. This one takes place in LA. So there are some things that have been referenced in like Nevada and LA in some of the games that you do get to see more of here, but like the vaults they're telling the story about, you don't know if they're control vaults or if they're testing variable vaults. So if you don't know what that means, that's fine. Watch the series and have fun. But
play Fallout and get ready to read a lot of computer screens because there's like, a lot of it
very clearly is like a love letter to the series and the world. And we're going to make a good character, a neutral character, and an evil character that we follow to show all the different ways you can go through those games. That's basically what they did.
Oh, that's so cool.
Cool.
That's the great thing about Fallout is that you can make your own, you know, you can make your own vaults when you're making a new Fallout game. It's like, well, we can just the weirdest shit we can think of, the most fucked up, weird experiments we could think of. And like, oh, yeah, I love. Yeah. OK, cool.
Well, now you've got seven new recommendations, six new speedruns to watch. And apparently the Fallout series. I'm going to hit you up with that secret bonus seventh one that I was talking about. I don't have like a ton to say about
Tears of the Kingdom.
This right now. Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom. It's Super Mario 64. No, this is like, I think a game that if you're a speedrunner or you're somebody who's interested in speedrunning, you should know about this game because it's just kind of weirdly embedded in, I think it's kind of weirdly embedded in the history of speedrunning, despite not necessarily being a game that a ton of people have known about. It's a game called Refunct. R-E-F-U-N-C-T. This game.
Yeah,
it's like a 2.5 minute speed run. But
Okay.
It has like 1500 times on the leaderboard or something. Like, it's just the thing about it is that this is a game that has never stopped having people just run it constantly since I have known about speedrunning, basically. It is just I don't know much else to say about it. It's like a first person parkour kind of game where you basically just go run and press buttons and move on to the next thing. But because of how short it has gotten so optimized where people are trying to save milliseconds at a time in the same kind of way that they do in Super Mario Brothers 1. And it just has a very like passionate, dedicated community. And it's the kind of run that it looks like anybody can pick up very quickly. I just think it's the kind of game that like it's just going to continue to exist forever in the speedrunning like ether, you know, in a similar kind of way to how Minecraft speedruns are big. But that's for a game that is also very big. I just think it's one worth knowing about, Refunct. And maybe, I don't know, maybe check it out on your own if you want to give it a try.
Yeah, I've never actually.
Cozy parkour game, just from the art I'm immediately looking at. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly basic. I wouldn't call it like bland, but like it's just you got a bunch of platforms that rise up from the water when you press different buttons and you got to make your way to the end. And it's very cool, but it's just like it's a good introduction to like FPS platformers, which I think are a very rich genre of speedrunning as well. And maybe that's why it's so big, because it's short and it lets people get into that kind of thing. And then from there, you can move on to, you know, your Neon Whites or your
Titanfalls.
Yeah, like just tons of both of which were on my list, by the way. Maybe next time we'll talk more about those. But yeah, I just think it's one worth knowing about because it's the kind of thing that just pops up every now and then. Someone will be like, yeah, I think I'm going to learn Refunct. It's like this random old game that I'm going to learn it this week or something. And they probably can do it in a week. Yeah, check it out. That's been 6 speedruns, 7 speedruns that we think you all should know. So check them out in the description. Let us know if you have any gems.
Fallout games.
Let us know if you have any speedrunning gems or things that you think we missed here. Like, we're not going to talk about Super Mario Galaxy or Super Mario 64 here. The point is to try to give you some that maybe you didn't know about.
Maybe Galaxy 2.
Yeah, maybe not as many people know about that one. But we would just want to kind of throw out some different picks for y'all to check out next time. Let us know via either joining our Discord from patreon.com/possiblybad. If you join us there, you can actually join for free just to have an easy way to keep track of the podcast and any updates that we give about the podcast. But if you would like to get access to our Discord and access to episodes early, as well as our special commentary tracks for the main episodes, then please consider subscribing on patreon.com/possiblybad. It's as little as $5 a month. Really helps us out a lot. We really appreciate it if you do. And you can also leave comments there, free user or a paid user. You can leave comments if you have some other speedruns you think we should know about that we missed here. And let us know if you like this episode topic. We'll probably revisit again in the future if people like it, because I think it's a fun one where we just get to gush about some speed games we like that we think more people should watch.
Hops.
What's up?
I like this episode.
I like this episode too. I think we should do it again sometime. Yeah.
God, yeah. No way, same. Great speedruns are pretty great.
We have any executive producers?
We do have executive producers, and they have
our executive
names.
Producers are incredible. They are probably badass people who back the show and make sure that we can do the awesome things we do here. They participate in anything from watch night parties, suggesting episodes that we will actually record in the future, and more. So, hey, Hobbs, who do we have of those probably badass EPs?
Yeah, big shout outs to Lossian Luponis, Mildew Zero, Cassandra Lenhart, Zio Delup, Lisa Slack, Professor Howell, Hypixion, Brian Ward, and of course, Ethan King, who we mentioned earlier. Thank you all so much for being EPs in the show. We really appreciate it. And again, if you would like to become an executive producer of the show, you just subscribe to that possibly badass tier. I always forget the names of the tiers, even though I'm the one who made them, at patreon.com/possiblybad. That's going to do it for us here, folks. And as we close, as we always say at the end of every show, don't be racist.
do so fast. Go play games.
I own a crowbar.
Watch Fallout.
Watch Fallout and don't be weird with your cousins.
Okay, so we've clapped.
we didn't decide who was gonna. I mean, I can run us.
Sure,
I can do it. I can do this one. Yeah.